kids listening, you might not want them to hear at the next interview. It's really intriguing, though. How would you like a new penis? Made headlines across the world last week. Our hospital in Boston, Vinny's put his hand up already, became the first in the United States to perform a successful penis transplant. It's been called a surgical milestone. The patient is Thomas Manning. He received his new penis 3 years after his was amputated due to penile cancer. He's the third man ever in the world to have this surgery performed, but the first to talk openly about it, and I've been speaking to him.
I'm in the Mass General Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts, in the good old USA.
So you're talking to us from hospital?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say what happened to you, but we know what happened to you. You got a new penis. It's not that I say every day.
Yeah, I like to think of it as my new magic wand.
I don't know if I want to go any further into that, but I guess we got to.
So a nice clean, it's a nice clean joke, you know. I'm not a dirty person or anything, but I thought that was a nice clean way of describing it.
So what happened? Take us back to the start.
Okay, you want to know how I had my accident leading up to the... Okay, sure, no problem. In 2012, I was working. I had an accident, and I had a crushing accident where it crushed my insides, brought down my, crushed my penis, crushed my testicles, and I was being treated at the Mass General Hospital for about 3.5 weeks, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, cancer's at the end of the penis. So my doctor discovered...
So hold on a second. Tell me more about this accident. What happened?
I was going down a ramp with a two-wheeler. And there was dry ice, black ice on the ramp. And I went up in the air, and the cart that I was pushing down the ramp went up in the air, and it came down on my stomach and pushed all my insides down into my groin area.
Wow. So what damage did that do to your internal organs?
Well, it pushed my... I think it did something to my colon, so it pushed some of my colon down into my groin. It crushed my, like I said, it crushed my penis, it crushed my testicles, and it did a pretty good job on me.
Okay.
Was
the pain intense at the time?
When it hit me, oh yeah, believe me, it was like, it happened so fast. I don't know if I was in shock or whatever, but believe me, it blew out. It just blew a hole through me. I had, like, they had to put a foundation in there to hold everything up. I had to, about 3.5 weeks after I'm hurt, after the doctor's looking at me, we're scheduled to go into surgery. And what happened was, just before I was going to go into surgery, a few days before, I was scheduled to see a urologist. His name was Dr. Adam Feldman. And he just took a look at me. Now, the other doctors treating me never saw cancer. Just before we were going, I went into this medical exam. The doctor wasn't even looking at me for 5 minutes. Never touched me, just looked at me from the outside, and looked at the wound. And he says, whoa, I don't like this. This is cancer. He turned around, and I had surgery to build the foundation 3 days later. And then he did a biopsy to confirm the cancer.
And this is cancer in your penis?
Cancer in the penis, correct.
When you hear that, does it matter to you? Do you think it's any different having cancer in the penis than cancer anywhere else?
Well, I never thought about it like that. I think the way I dealt with it was straight up. I agreed with the doctor that it had to be amputated. It wasn't in good shape to begin with. It was really all crushed and everything, too. So I'm not sure how much they would have been able to save to begin with. It turned around, and when he told me that, it was devastating. I mean, but I wasn't thinking about comparing the penis cancer to any other cancer at the time.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with your own injury, or your own, it's yourself. You're so self-contained, and you're so focused on what's happening to you. You're not thinking about anything on the outside.
I guess I can cut to the chase, Thomas.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a difference in getting a big toe cut off because you've got another one.
Right.
Getting a finger cut off because you've got more.
Right.
And getting that thing that's in between your legs cut off. There's a difference, isn't there? You don't have another
one. Oh, yeah. Now I get to what you're saying. Okay, yeah. Well, it has something to do with my attitude. And my attitude was that when they cut off my penis, the primary reason I wanted to go through with this whole surgery and this transplant thing and everything, this goes back to 4 years ago. I was talking about it 2 years with my doctor before they even started cutting them off. And he thought I was a little wacky. You know, you talk about penis transplants, they're not doing those things. Well, I wanted it back. And I just thought, hey, if you're going to, they cut it off. If I had any opportunity whatsoever to get it back, I was going to take it.
So when they cut it off, what did they leave?
They left a little stump, about maybe an inch. That was it. Just about an inch.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more, but just about an inch.
And that's to go to the toilet and all that kind of malarkey.
Yeah, that's right.
What's it like being a man with no penis?
Well, I didn't hide it. I was upfront about it. I'm not one of those people that I face things right up front. I didn't hide it. Didn't hide behind a rock. I wasn't ashamed. None of those things. And if you knew me, you knew I had the operation. I never hid it. It was
no psychological problems at all.
No, I didn't have any psychological.
Just glad to be alive, I guess.
I was well. Now you hit on something very right on the button, and that being alive, this cancer is a very aggressive cancer. I must have caught it just as it started, but this cancer, if it gets in your lymph nodes, you got about 2 to 7 months to live. You're not going. It's a death sentence.
Okay.
And you don't get a second shot. You have to make your decisions, and you have to understand what the risk factors are and make them up. A lot of men will not allow you to cut off their penises. If they knew they had penis cancer or something, they'd be looking for alternative routes, like, chemotherapy or radiation or, you know what I mean. They'd be looking for, to tell a man, especially a young man, I'm not the young, but if you told a young man 20, 25 years old, you're going to cut off his penis, he'd rather die. You're getting right into the numbers here. There's a high percentage of individuals that probably die every year that made mistakes and didn't let them do what they had to do.
And so, were you married at the time? Did you have a partner?
No, I'm not married. I dated, but I'm not married. I don't have any children, and I'm not married.
Then you go about getting yourself... That's not funny. It kind of is, when you say it out loud. You go about getting yourself a new penis.
Yeah, well, you know, I went to the Stop and Shop in the frozen food section, but they ran out. I had to go out and find it somewhere else.
Yeah. Where'd you find yourself a new one?
Well... I mean, somebody had to die for this to happen for me.
Okay.
Everything had to be perfect. The perfect physician, the perfect patient, the perfect... I'm going home Wednesday. I'm leaving this hospital a few weeks before they even expected me to leave. I'm in great shape. But some young man he died.
Okay.
And I'm the benefit of his and his family's gift. And I really, really appreciate it very much. Someday, maybe I might get lucky and get to know the family because they know me. They saw me on TV. They saw me in the newspapers. They know. They heard my voice. They know who I am.
And is the match down to a blood group or what determines whether the body will accept it or not?
I'm not really sure. Blood type has a lot to do with it. I'm type B, and that means he had to be type B. We're matching up great. I had no rejection or anything yet. Nothing. No infection, no rejection. So far, it's full acceptance, and I'm healing more and more every day.
And will you be able to get an erection with it?
I sure as hell hope so. Hey, can you imagine me, a 65-year-old man with an 18-year-old penis? I'll be the most dangerous man in the world. I'll be rubbing the... I mean, come on. You know how they always talk about teenagers, and they think with the thing between their heads. Girls always told you that guys are dogs. that they think with this down here and not upstairs here. Well, you know, all the guys' hormones are running around, you know, driving them crazy. God, I'll be the most dangerous guy walking the streets.
I've got to ask the question. You know it's coming. You know it's coming.
I know it's coming.
Is it bigger or smaller than yours?
Well, I can't tell yet. Hey,
come on, you must be able to tell. You must be able to tell.
No. I can't tell yet.
Why not?
I thought about it. I have to admit, I have thought about this. If I knew right now, I'd actually tell you, but I don't.
Well, why? Have you not been able to look at it? Is it all wrapped up or what?
Oh, yeah.
So it's all bandaged up?
Yeah, it's all bandaged up.
So that's going to be a surprise for you. You might have got double the size you used to have.
I know. It could be like bingo.
Listen, I'm trying to have a little bit of fun with this because
I want to laugh with you too.
It's fantastic you're still alive. Clearly, that is what is important here. Secondly, the gift from someone else to think to themselves that they are going to pass life on to another human being is incredible.
And they received many gifts from this individual. Many of his organs had been harvested, and this man and his family did a great deal of good for everybody, for themselves, knowing that this kid. Him being here he didn't die in vain.
How old did you say he was?
I don't know. They didn't disclose that yet.
Okay, but you know he was a young man.
Yes, I do. Okay. Yes, I do. Well, he had to be a man because this is a man's club. Only men belong to this club. And you know something? I'm having a hard time getting members.
What about, Thomas, the operation itself? How long did it last?
Almost 16 hours.
16 hours?
Yeah, and then the next day I hemorrhaged and I had to go in for another 5 hours.
Why so long to sew it back on?
It just took a lot, but you have all those little nerve endings and things like that. You can't even see them. Probably took hours for each one to be reattached and whatever. It was a very long surgery.
And it involved, I believe, more than 50 doctors.
Yeah, 50 personnel, 50 members in there, yeah. Hey, they didn't have enough room for me in the operating room. That's how many people were in there.
And then it didn't go entirely right. Next day, you say you hemorrhaged.
Yeah, we had some hemorrhaging. It was a complication, and it was serious because it happened in my room, and a doctor actually, Dr. Bronco, actually put his hand right inside me to hold the blood back while they're wheeling me back into the operating room, running through the hallways to get to the elevator, go downstairs to the operating room. Yeah, it was one of my most exciting rides in my lifetime. Let's put it to you that way.
Yeah, you must have been terrified.
Yeah, I was. I took everything in. I didn't overreact or anything. I was, you know, like really focused on the doctor in front of me with his hand inside me, and then looking at all the faces as you're going by in the hallway, and they're looking at you in shock because they can't believe what they're seeing. It was like watching TV when you see them do it on TV, but it was actually happening to me. It was interesting. Do you want to hear what happened, how I led into the surgery, what happened where we went?
Please, Thomas.
Okay. Now, I had my accident a little over 4 years ago. About for a couple of years, I was talking to my doctor about the transplants. They didn't even have them yet. About 2 years ago, my doctor tells me they put the surgical team together and they're getting ready to do this, and it won't be long before they're going to be doing it. About 15 weeks ago, my doctor calls me at night, 9 o'clock on a Friday night on his personal phone. When a doctor calls you on his personal phone on a Friday night, it's usually not good. They don't work on Friday nights, you know that. You know? So I'm saying, I pick up the phone. He talks to me. He says, "Hey, Tom, you still interested in that thing we were talking about?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I'd go to the moon for this." So I started going through the protocol, meeting all the surgeons, having all the exams, doing everything I had to do. I got to the end. I'm at the final test. I go in for this test. It's an echocardium stress test. They find out I have a heart condition. And they right away, they stop everything. They put me on an inactive list, and I can't do anything until I have my heart fixed. But I don't wait. What I do is I call the heart transplant center, and I tell them I need an appointment with a cardiologist. I call my, my primary care physician. I do the same thing. Then they give me two dates. One's for 2.5 weeks, one's for 7 weeks. That's too long for me. So I said, I'm not going to just lay around and just wait. So I call their offices up and say, if you get any that cancels out, I want that appointment. I don't care what time or anything. 2 days later, they call me. They got a cancellation. A couple of days later, I'm seeing the cardiologist. 4 days later, I'm having the echocardiogram stress test. 3 days later, I'm having the surgery.
Wow.
That's, I put it all together at the end. I wasn't going to let it fall apart. And it's a beginning and it's an ending, but that's exactly how it came.
It's an incredible journey. And you're one of only three men to have had this operation. Now, one of them has actually, who got a new penis, has fathered a child.
Yeah.
Will you be able to?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, I don't know. It's hard to answer that question. You know, you got to have the right mate, the right guy, the right this, the right that. Everything has to fall into place. But so far, I'm not saying no to anything. Anything's possible.
Some people might say, what's the point of having one if you're not going to use it?
Yeah, well, I expect to use it. I just.
Fair enough.
I sure do. I'm not going to miss out on that opportunity.
Now, the other person, one of the other people to receive the operation, actually, he removed his donated penis.
Well, I mean,
because he had a severe psychological problem experienced by him and his wife.
I mean, well, that's really. You know, so many stories, his story, even the South African story. The South African story is coming back as a botched circumcision, and they think his penis was reconnected, that it wasn't a new penis. I mean, there's a lot of questionable actions here because, if most of the time, if South Africa or China does anything that's world news, they can't wait to put it out there and show you everything. But in this case, they're not showing any documentation. You come to the Mass General Hospital. Not only will they show you documentation, they'll show you a 16-hour surgery that was filmed. They'll show you my pictures, what I looked like before the surgery. They'll show you my pictures, what I look like after the surgery. I mean, they'll actually show you pictures of me having my penis amputated 4 years ago. So. We have all the documentation anybody really wants. If anyone challenged us to the point, and it came to the point, usually I wouldn't let anyone take a look at anything. But I have nothing to hide. I'm strictly the truth. If they can't deal with the truth, that's their problem.
How important is this to you, Thomas?
Well, it's very, very important to me. I fought for this for 4 years. Before anybody even believed in me or believed in this, I was a couple of years ahead of time. My doctor at the news conference a week ago at the Mass General Hospital told everybody that I talked to him 4 years ago. I was ahead of the game. I never gave up, never stopped focusing on what I wanted to do. And eventually it came down to the perfect patient. These doctors went and asked my doctor, you know anybody that might be interested or that could withstand this surgery? And he gave him one name, me. I thought that meant a lot to me.
I'm sure it did.
Sure it did. And he had a lot of faith in me. I didn't let him down.
Have you got down much?
Say that?
Have you got down much? Have you got depressed much over all of this?
No. I'm always on top of the game. If I was depressed, I could never have gone through these whole 4 years like I did. I was ready. When they were ready, I was ready. Everything just happened.
So what are your dreams now in life? What do you want to do?
I just want to be happy. I want to be healthy as I can, as happy as I can, live my life. I'm going to go out and do some work for the hospital, some charity work and whatever for the hospital. Maybe I'd like to go out and do some motivational speaking because I can really cheer a lot of people up. I don't know. I'd like to do something that's, you know, very uplifting and after you listen to me for a half hour, 45 minutes, you go home and you say, you know something? Hey, I feel pretty good today.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not as bad as I thought it was. Everything's, you know, it's not perfect. You know, you're looking for perfection. You go knock at God's door. that's where you're going to find perfection. We're just a bunch of people trying to do the best we can for as long as we can. And that's it. Regardless of the color of skin or how old you are or what sex you are or anything, you know, you get up in the morning, you put your pants on like everybody else, and you get on with life. That's what it is.
I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Well, I'm glad you called me. I like you because you made me laugh. If you make me laugh, you're my kind of guy.
Well, look, I was going to say to you, good luck unwrapping your new present when you eventually do.
I don't know. If you want to call me up in about 3 months for a follow up and see how I'm doing, because I'm getting out of the hospital on Wednesday, and you know, things are just getting good back. I have to, you know, I still have to come back twice a week for a month and maybe a couple of months.
Yeah. I'm minded to say, Thomas, I'll be thinking about your penis, but I won't say that too loud.
Not too many people would understand.
Good luck.
Hey, have a great day. Enjoy yourself.
All the best.
Thank you.
He was a nice guy, wasn't he? Someone on Twitter says, Stephen, I've driven from Dundrawd to Sprucefield with my legs crossed. And what an unbelievable story. P.S. It's called a winky woo in our house.